On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the men's basketball game against Vanderbilt and preview their upcoming game against Tennessee. I also recap the women's basketball game against Kentucky and preview their game against Texas A&M, and also touch on the college football national championship. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 33 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And, that rings a little more true this weekend. I don't know. It's just one hell of a weekend to be a Gamecock. I hope whenever you're listening to this, whether it's Monday or Tuesday, we're grinding through the work week, you can just look back on this weekend and say, man, that was a good one. I mean, we've had a couple of these weekends, I feel like, lately, but this was great. I mean, we had games throughout the weekend. We had transfer portal action. There was just a lot of momentum and a lot of good vibes in Gamecock Twitter, Gamecock Instagram. It's just a great time to be a Gamecock, and I hope that we can carry this momentum through all of our weeks, and we can get through to the next weekend and great weeks of Gamecock everything from here on out. But what we're going to do in this episode is I'm going to go over the results from both the men's and women's basketball games from this past weekend. Again, good stuff there. And then depending on how much time we have left, I would like to touch on the national championship for football that is happening Monday night. I mean, we always covered Gamecock sports, and I'm big into Gamecock football, but we always realize that we are but a small piece of a big puzzle, if you will, right? I guess that's a decent analogy. So we're going to touch on that game because it is big time for all college football fans, but especially SEC football fans that we are. Ugh, whatever. So, jumping right into things here, the men's basketball game beat Vanderbilt Saturday afternoon 72-70, a squeaker. And y'all, I'm done. I had my New Year's resolution. I told you that my sports focus resolution, if you will, was to not ride the roller coaster when I watch Carolina games. And that's out the window because I was riding the roller coaster. I was stressed as all can be. The cardiac court cocks, say that five times really fast. The cardiac court cocks brought me to the edge, and RIP Tim's New Year's resolution, January 8th, 2022. It was a great week. You know, I was very zen. I was like, yeah, I got this. We're not going to get the blood pressure up. We're not going to get stressed watching sports. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to take everything in stride and leave it to Frank Martin and company to just toss that resolution out the window and stomp on it. But hey, it's worth it because that was one hell of a win by the Court Cocks. We went down early, right? And then we're able to fight back and actually we're up at the half by 2 points. And so it's kind of crazy that that margin held true. We did open it up early in the second half and it was like, oh man, like maybe we actually got something here. Maybe we're gelling. And then just typical, let Vandy creep back into it and back into it. And that lead slowly shrunk and we weren't able to get momentum back. And that led to just a crazy, close, stressful last few minutes to that game. And it has kind of led me to think that the identity of this Gamecocks team, it's exactly what we've seen in these type of wins. And I'm thinking about this win against Vanderbilt and the win against FSU, what was that, last month or whatever. But those are two pretty good wins, if you ask me, like quality wins, teams that are going to probably end up with a winning record, teams that might be in the tournament. Vanderbilt, obviously, they have some good players. They're in the SEC, so that's a big win. But the identity is that we have the ability to be scrappy. We fight. I mean, look at that loss to Auburn. We fought back, brought it to single digits. We can adjust well defensively mid-game. We've seen that a few times. And we have the ability to play in close games and respond in close games, which is good. But we don't have the ability to fully take over a game and close a team out from creeping back in. We don't have that killer instinct. Like, we can't step on somebody's neck, so to speak. And you saw that against FSU, and then you saw that against Vanderbilt, where we allow teams to just hang in there, and where we have a moment and some momentum, we just can't fully capitalize it. So, AKA that identity is this team is going to be very stressful to watch, and we're going to be in a lot more close games. So we're all in this together because no one really wants to be in those. Yeah, they're entertaining, but they're stressful. And there are some times where you just want to say, come on, guys, take over the game here. I think we were up by maybe 11 points in the second half to Vanderbilt. You won by two. And really, quick note, I mean, it came down to Vanderbilt's last possession. If you watched it, you know what I'm talking about. But if you didn't, it was one of the wackiest, weirdest last chance plays I've ever seen. Vanderbilt had the ball. They inbounded it. It was going to be the last shot. There was maybe 6 seconds left. Scottie Pippen Jr. had the ball. Everyone and their mother thought that he was going to take the last shot, but he drove in, and it was a kick out, but it was a kick out to nobody. And then the ball went out of bounds, game over. Like, I'll take it. I was very happy, but very bizarre way to end a game. So some player highlights for y'all here. James Reese, great game from James Reese here. 13 points on 5 of 11 shooting. And then Wildens Levesque, 10 points and 3 rebounds. And I think something has become very clear. Wildens Levesque is our best big man. Keyshawn Bryant is very good. He's electric, but Wildens Levesque is more of that old school. He's steady. You can feed it to him in the post. He's going to bank it off the glass. He can get a putback. He is very good. He is solid. 10 points, 3 rebounds. He was only maybe 4 of 5 on shooting or something like that. He needs to get a lot more touches. He feels like a guy who could be averaging 10, 12, 15 points per game. And that is something that I think we haven't seen in the last 2 years or so from South Carolina basketball. I mean, we had really good big men for a while. We had Silva, we had Kotsar, a couple other guys mixed in there. We haven't had that presence, and it feels like we've been forcing it. And now we have a little bit of depth, and Levesque has emerged as someone, in my opinion, who you should really start to lean on and whose role should expand more. And you've seen it little by little that this team is gelling. And I think that if you can build with Levesque and you have Devin Carter, who's electric, if Cousinart can you know, have some nice form, and then Stevenson, Stevie, shooting the ball from three, that's not a bad formula. And then you play good team defense, and you see where we're at now, right? Like, we have, I think it's about 10 wins. Like, the team is not bad. They're just stressful, and they're scrappy, and they don't have that killer instinct. But if we can grind out some wins, who knows where we can end up come the end of the year. But I don't know. And then our next game here is Tuesday night in Knoxville against Tennessee. I don't like Tennessee at all. I mean, I went on a big rant about them in football season. That applies to everything. Like, but unfortunately, they have been pretty good in basketball these past few years, and the same stays, right? They're 18th in the country now, 10-4 overall. They are 1-2 in the SEC, but they're a bit more battle-tested in league play. I think they've already played Alabama, who we all know is really good. And then they had a close game against LSU. And LSU's pretty good as well. Now, the deal is that with Tennessee is they average 75 points per game, excuse me. And that is compared to USC 74, so pretty close. But here's the difference. Tennessee only allows 62 points per game compared to our 67. So they play pretty lights-out defense. And whenever you see that big of a delta where you have 75 and 62, they're able to score well above that average, aka not in these close games most of the time. But if I am going to give a crow to the game here, it's don't gift Tennessee points, right? Against Vanderbilt, there were just way too many fouls. They were in the bonus way early into the second half, and then they got into the double bonus way earlier than we were, and that kind of helped Vanderbilt hang in the game. So with how good Tennessee's defense is, you just can't give them points. So if we're going to stay competitive in a tough road matchup, we have to play smart and not allow them to get to the line a lot. Now, moving over to the women's side of things here, I did have a quick note. You remember they played LSU. Now, we beat LSU 66-60, but that game, that had some weird timing with how the last episode came out, and All I'm going to say is, you know, I said I was not a fan of their coach, Mulkey. I'm glad I'm not the only one, because after that game, Twitter was popping off. Not a lot of people like her. And it was a good amount of smack talk between our fans and us and them and whatever. Bottom line is that we beat them. It was not the prettiest of games. A lot of turnovers. Still hung on to win. And Dawn Staley is and always will be the queen of the SEC. Don't come for the queen, because you're going to get kicked in the head. But moving on. Now, Sunday here, this past Sunday, the ladies beat Kentucky in a typical Gamecock-dominating fashion in front of the home crowd, 74-54, allowed just 9 points in the second quarter. So one of those dominating quarters that we have seen this year. And it's funny, y'all. I mean, I was watching the game. We were tied going into the second quarter. I got up. I was checking my phone. All of a sudden, I looked up, and we were up by 10. And then we never looked back. I mean, it was the game was in hand in a matter of seconds. It was pretty nice. And we were up late enough, I suppose, that our typical rotation players, they were able to rest, which was nice to see, because you always want to get some more people involved in playing, but it was nice that they were able to rest our key players, especially after that quick turnaround that was the LSU game. Now, a couple of highlights for y'all here. Shipping up to Boston, 18 points and 15 boards for Aaliyah Boston. Even saw some nice ball handling. I saw a couple times where she had to bring up the ball because of different press and things like that. She's smooth with it. She's nice with it. Looking like Magic Johnson out there with the handles. Boston, she really, really can do it all. We are so fortunate to have a player like her who has really developed into the best player in women's college basketball. Zaya Cook, I believe it was also her birthday. So happy birthday, Zaya Cook. You had 19 points for your birthday and a really nice shout out by ESPN. They talked about her versatility and things like that. Victoria Saxton backing everything up with 12 points and 9 boards. One shy of that double-double. I bet that is killing her. But she has nice game. She's a great complimentary piece for Aaliyah, for Cardoza. It's just very nice to see when you see more of these rotation players, more of those depth players get involved. Now, the next game for the ladies is Thursday night at home against Texas A&M. Stupid Aggies. As of now, A&M is ranked 25 with a 10-4 record. 0-2 in the SEC, though. But I honestly wouldn't be surprised if, when the next poll comes out, which should be before that game, that they're not even ranked. So it could be another ranked matchup for Dawn, but it might not be. And I don't want to assume anything, but looking at A&M's schedule, they had back-to-back losses in the SEC done pretty convincingly. They kind of got their asses kicked, frankly. So I don't want to assume anything, but I'm going to think that coming to Colonial Life to play the number one team in the country, led by Dawn Staley and Aaliyah Boston, that trend, it might continue for y'all. But Mike Rowe to the game, I don't know too much about A&M, but control the pace of play. And I feel like whenever this team plays, you know, our Gamecock women's team, like, there's going to be a couple of different crows to the game that if we do these things in general against really whomever, these should ring true and you can lead to good games for us. And controlling the pace of play, and when we've been able to play at our own speed, set up the shots we want, work the ball down to the post, get those rebounds, get those second chance shots, nobody has really been able to stop it. So if we play our game and A&M continues to struggle in league play, hopefully this is a nice showing for the Gamecocks in Colonial Life, and maybe we can even rest our starters even more as we continue this grind that is the league schedule. So hopefully it's a nice week for the Gamecocks on both teams, because this weekend was a weekend sweep. Take out your brooms, y'all. I like this. I love kicking my feet up on the weekend and watching our basketball teams catch W's left and right. I think it's the second sweep we've had of the year. I think maybe three, but definitely at least two. So hopefully, imagine if we bring a weekend sweep into the week sweep with a big upset over Tennessee. Oh, that would just be unreal, and the Gamecocks are just rolling, baby. But with that being said, that is our updates on the South Carolina things, and it is an exciting time to be a Gamecock. So before we break here, as I said, wanted to touch on the College Football National Championship. It is Monday night at 8 p.m., and I have to say something. I have a little bit of a platform. I'm going to get on a little bit of my soapbox here. If I had a soapbox to get on in relation to the college football playoff, it's like the size of an ant. But why in the absolute world is this game on a Monday night? College football literally owns Saturdays. You own Saturdays for what, 3-4 months out of the year? Imagine this if this game was on a Saturday night. You would have tailgates all day. You could have coverage all day. People would be tuning in to the pregames all day. And then we would all be tuning in to watch it at night. Monday night at 8, yeah, I'm going to watch it because I'm a big college football fanatic. I'm a sports fanatic. But you're a casual fan. That's late. And it's a Monday night. You got to get up for work the next day. It's just ridiculous. Whole different story. Like, that should just not happen. It should be on a Saturday night. It'd be amazing. Whatever. But unless you've been living under a rock, you do know that it's Alabama versus Georgia here, rematch of the SEC championship game, and it's obviously not the first time that we've seen these two play for the national championship, and if that game is any indication of how this is going to go, we are in for a doozy. Georgia is favored right now by about 2.5 points. Not about 2.5 points. Just about. But I honestly, y'all, I have no idea what is going to happen in this game. Going into the SEC championship game, I thought UGA was honestly unstoppable. I thought their defense was just too good to overcome. I thought their running game would get going enough no matter what. And I thought that Bennett was fine. And he could win you a game if he had to. Bama proved that very, very wrong and ended up rolling in that game, as we all know. So really, this game boils down to one question. Can UGA learn from that game and stick it to Bama that at times Bama has looked vulnerable in the regular season at least? So can UGA learn from that, maybe go back to their strengths, but maybe with some different schemes and try to exploit Bama in different ways? Or is Alabama able to once again outthink, and can Nick Saban once again outcoach Kirby Smart and force them to go away from their strengths? That's the question. And it's going to be remarkable to watch, but I could see this game going either way. I don't know who I would pick with in the spread. I think it's going to be a real back and forth game. So what I'm going to do, if you have to force me to take a pick here, I'm actually going to take the over at 52 points. I want to root for points, going to be rooting for a fun game, and I'm going to go out this season the way I came in with my motto, life is too short to bet the under. It's going to be a crazy game, and I don't really know what to think. I hate Georgia, especially as a South Carolina fan. I do not like Georgia. I will never root for Georgia, so if you have to pick which side you're pulling for, I guess I'm going to say I'm pulling for the Tide. But I hope at least for my ass to stay up late on a Monday night. Yeah, I go to bed early. Not that early, but I go to bed early. So this game's going to end past my bedtime. Sorry, old man. But if you're going to make me stay up, let's make it entertaining. Let's root for the points. And hey, we'll see how it goes. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please, if you can, follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, and Instagram is just the name of the show. Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you have followed me, share me with your friends. Say, hey, go follow this guy. He's hilarious. I love him. Whatever it may be. And then also, if you can, please like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you can, leave your boy a review. And if there's something you want to hear more of or hear less of, tell me. I would love to incorporate feedback into all this, but I appreciate all y'all. Let's go, Cox.